Everyone has something they choose to follow. For some it's religion, but then men disagree about who is the true God. For some it's nationalism, for others it's less idealistic. Women, alcohol, all sorts of things. But for me, always, deep inside, I knew I had to follow the king. I wasn't interested in the Roman emperor, the ruler. He wasn't a king. He may have ruled our lands, but he certainly didn't rule in our hearts. And that's what a king should do. A king should always be in your mind, always in your soul, forever in your heart. I've always believed that in a strange way, the king is the right man, perhaps even God's man, to rule a country. Emperors come and go, but kings remain, at least in the memory. They are all remembered. The king does good things. He makes his people feel good. He's there as the figurehead of the nation, like a father figure, someone to inspire and guide his people. Herod, the son of Antipater, now he was a king. Well, I know he was only designated as king by the Roman Senate, but at least he was a king, our king. He set about winning the hearts and minds of his people. Building for the future, that was his big project, and what buildings they were. The port out at Caesarea with the rebuilt docks and the warehousing and the new breakwater giving safety for ships. What a place that was. It secured the trading routes. We have never had that before. All along our coast, the storms would come. The ships would get blown away. Some would get sunk. But not anymore. The port is a safe haven. That's what kings do. Then there's a new royal palace up on the hillside overlooking the port. A big, imposing, impressive residence letting everyone know the king is there watching over them. Some might not like that, but after all, he is the king. And if you follow the king, you accept his rule in every part of your lives. Another big building is the king's palace actually built into the walls of Jerusalem, signifying a sort of contract between the king and his people. And as if that wasn't enough, there was, of course, the temple. It was the king who arranged the rebuilding of the great temple at Jerusalem. It's the largest building in our country, one of the biggest in the Roman Empire. 30 years it took to build. The priests involved at every step, but the king organizing everything, personally. Now that's a king anyone would be proud to follow. No wonder they called him Herod the Great. I think it's my enthusiasm. That's what got me noticed. One day I was at home when I heard the heavy tramp of feet and the unmistakable sound of armor. It clinks a bit. I knew there were soldiers about. I have to admit I was fearful when the knock came at the door. What a relief to see they were the king's soldiers in ceremonial armor bringing a message. That's how I ended up as mayor of Bethlehem. If you follow a king, he notices. Kings always look after and reward their followers. Bethlehem is only small. Not a lot happens. Some people don't think much to the place. It's up in the Judean hill country, a bit off the main roads. When I was given the job, my friends kept saying, "How far is it to Bethlehem?" It's not very far from Jerusalem. I think that's why it's a small town. It's easy for people to leave, so they do. People are born there and then move to the city just as soon as they can. But I liked it. I was proud to be given the job. The king's man in town. Now Bethlehem is a place that keeps on coming up in the history and the traditions of our people and of our nation. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, came here on his travels before his name was changed to Israel. his wife died whilst giving birth to their youngest son, Benjamin. She's buried to the north. There's a shrine by the roadside. Some people come to Bethlehem as a sort of historical pilgrimage. They come to see the shrine. And, of course, to remember that this is the place our greatest ever king, King David, came from. You remember the story of how David was still out in the fields when the priest Samuel came looking to anoint the man chosen by God. David's father presented all his other sons and all were rejected by Samuel before David was brought in from those fields. Samuel recognized David as God's choice to be king and anointed him right there and then, here in Bethlehem. The fields seem important round here. It was a valley to the east where Ruth of Moab foraged for scraps of grain before coming into town with Naomi. So this place has history. For religious pilgrimages, people go to the new temple at Jerusalem, as the priests require them to do. But those looking for history will always come up here into the hills to Bethlehem. That's why we have a big inn here. The King David. Far bigger than usual for a town of this size. But when I got here, nothing seemed to happen. Nothing ever seemed to happen in Bethlehem. It was my first job for the king. I just wanted something to put it on the map. I just wanted something to happen once. In Royal David's City. I threw myself into promoting tourism, but then something happened that changed everything. For me, at least. The Romans said it was because the emperor wanted to know how many people he ruled over. But we knew the real reason was to make sure they taxed everyone. A tax on every head of the population, taking no account of circumstances. They always said taxes paid for security, for trade, for better prospects. But somehow the gap between rich and poor just got bigger and bigger. And the census was only going to make things worse. And whoever thought of having a census in the middle of winter? Obviously someone who'd never been in the southern Judean mountains in the bleak midwinter. We're 2,500 feet above sea level here, and it was a bitter winter. Frosty winds moaned through the valleys. The earth where Ruth had gleaned was hard as iron, and the water, well, that froze. In the coldness of that year, when Quirinius was governor in Syria, the order was made. Everyone had to go to his hometown to register. All the people who had family from Bethlehem would be coming home. Everyone who had left the city. Everyone who had run away. Everyone who'd been disgraced and cut family links. Everyone who had left debt, heartbreak, unrequited love, unsettled fuels. Everyone who wanted to deny their origins. They would all be coming home. Everyone. Merchants, farmers, priests, soldiers, oddballs, and shepherds. They would all be coming. The town would be full. Most people would be staying with family, filling every room in their houses. But however big the King David was, it wouldn't be big enough. The days of the census drew near. The town started to get busier. The local merchants all went off to the big city to get supplies. They were going to make money out of this sudden influx of people. I don't like the unexpected. The census was bad enough. I wanted to make sure there was no trouble. So I took on watchmen. We don't usually need them here. I sort out any local disputes, or if it's a family matter, I try to involve the priests. But I took them on. I was glad to have got them on side early. That's what's expected of the king's man. See the problems coming and do something about it. The king would like that, but would he ever know? The first problems were returning family. People usually stayed with relatives in the family home. But some were causing arguments. Some who had left home to find their fortunes in the city expected to walk straight back into the family home. It often happens when somebody has moved to the big city, they don't appreciate how different they have become. They come back with an attitude. Almost as if they expect a robe, a ring, and a fatted calf. Domestic disputes broke out. The watchman calm most and direct the problem cases to me. I laid down the law. I was quite enjoying being the king's man, enjoying respect from the citizens, enjoying problem solving and looking after the people, all on behalf of the king. Then there were the shepherds. Usually shepherds keep themselves to themselves. They want grazing from their flocks, so they just keep moving away from other people, including other shepherds. They're usually solitary men who don't get on with others, loners who want to be outside, away from other people. But the census forced 2, 3, and 4 generations of shepherds all together. They aren't very sociable. Frankly, they smell. They smell a lot, and when there are a lot of shepherds smelling a lot, well, it's not pleasant. I'm sure they never wash their socks by night or at any other time. They arrived in town with their flocks. No one would offer them accommodation, and the streets were full of sheep. No one could move, no one could carry on their business. Then they discovered why. The singing wasn't pretty. No tune. And it didn't make sense. They were like cave dwellers or Samaritans, intimidating the whole town. This was unexpected. But I was the king's man. It was up to me to do something. Some were already calling the nightly disturbances the shepherds' riots. I had to do something before news got back to the king. So I negotiated with the shepherds. They agreed to stay out of the town on the hillsides. They were here for the census, but they weren't filling the town and causing problems. I was really pleased with the way my negotiations had gone. I provided a small